Okay. Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I want to extend each and every one a happy Resurrection Day, commonly known as Easter to most, or I'll say at least to some. We're glad to be able to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this wonderful, wonderful day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord, for being so good. And of course, for being so good to us. We thank you for keeping us, watching over us as we slumbered and slept through the night, and for allowing us to come together this time, this day. And in this way, we may not be together physically that we can physically touch each other, but Lord, we thank you for this through the genius of technology to be able to at least meet each other in this fashion. We pray for the presence of your presence, of your blessed Holy Spirit, that we can feel your presence, Heavenly Father. And that you will guide our thoughts, our speech, our ears, that Lord, we may say that which you would have us to say, and that those who are hearing it be able to receive it in the very same spirit that it is given. I pray, Lord, that you allow me, Lord, to be the instrument used in your hand to say that which you would have to be said, Heavenly Father, even the way you would have it to be said. And I pray as always, Lord, that this can be done without my ego, vanity, pride getting in the way. Getting in the way, Heavenly Father, of some soul being edified, sanctified, and you being glorified. For this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Today is going to be a little different, but it's all right. We understand. Let's get something right out of the way. We understand that the Holy Bible is the inerrant, unerring Word of God. It is the only book whose contents can be considered as absolute. In other words, what it says goes. Having said that, today I'm just going to present you with some scriptures found in the Holy Bible. Some of you will say, excuse me. And when I'm finished presenting these scriptures to you, I hope you will have the answer to today's subject. And today's subject is very simple. Why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Now, beloved, if you happen to be one of those who don't fall in the group of people that believe what we said from the very beginning, that the Holy Bible is the inerrant, unerring Word of God, that means no, it's no mistake. We find people who look in the Bible and say they found this wrong. That wrong. No. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. Something is wrong with their perception, their understanding of it, but not with the Bible. unerring. That means it's making no mistakes. It has made no mistakes, nor does it, is it making any mistake now what it has said. There's no mistake there. It is the word of God. The men who wrote it were divinely inspired. It comes from the very breath of God. Now, if you're one of those people who don't believe that, you might even be one of those people who say, well, I believe some of it, most of it. You have a problem. And I dare say your problem is that you may not be born again. Because I cannot conceive of any true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ doubting his word. We have been speaking in the last week or so, maybe longer than that, that there are many people who say they believe in God, but they don't believe him. In other words, they don't believe what he says. What he says is what's written in the Holy Bible. If God says to do something, that means to do it. If he says to not do something, means don't do it. If he says stop doing certain things, then stop. God's word is absolute. It's true. Now, if you're one of those who say, well, I can't receive the Bible like that, then you need to re-examine what you think you have. If you think that you are a Christian and you doubt what God says in his word, there's a problem in there. That's what I'm saying. Don't take my word for it. I believe what the Holy Bible teaches. That's what I believe. Now, if anyone has a problem with that, go to the author. Go to the author. File your complaint with him. Tell him that you think he made a mistake, that he's wrong. Okay. Now, why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Wow. My attempt is only to touch the tip of that argument because it's going to go a whole lot deeper than I'm going to go today. And if I did that, we'd be here for quite a while. But I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to look at it from the perspective of presenting scriptures before you. You do with it as the Lord directs you. But I'll make this statement right here. With the passages of scripture that we're going to bring forth, is enough to convince the whole world why they should believe in the resurrection. The key is if you believe that the Holy Bible is the inerrant, unerring word of God. That means you believe. You're a believer. You say, yes. Well, that means that also you're looking for the truth. You want the truth. You believe the Bible when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means you're willing to stake your eternal soul on what thus says the word of God. Now, if you're willing to do that, there's no such thing as you not believing what the word of God says. If you have problems with that, then you're going to have problems with what we getting ready to say. And I'm saying all of this now because I'm not going to go through and explain it, and I don't apologize. But thus says the word of God. I'm not going to apologize for it. It is what it is. It means what it means, and it says what it says. And we are the ones who have to govern ourselves accordingly. We spend a lot of time trying to understand everything the word of God says. The Lord didn't require that of us. No, he doesn't require that. I understand everything that he says. He does only requires that I believe it. I have to believe it. God's, what is the phrase that we were so popular some years back? God says it, I believe it. That settles it. God says, I believe it. There it is. Let's go ahead on. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. We just finished looking at the seven last words of Jesus Christ, with the last words stating that, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In other words, okay, Dad, Father, Papa, I'm coming back home. I'm coming back home. Now, you say, well, he left a lifeless carcass, this human flesh, that body that he had, he left that behind. As all of us are going to do one day. But he left that behind. And they saw fit to take it from the cross and bury it in a tomb. I'm not going to go through all of the things that Pilate and the priests and all they wanted to do to try to diminish what Christ has done, the lies. Because they know that he said that he would rise again. And they said, no, we're gonna fix this. For one thing, when y'all put him in this tomb, we're gonna put a humongous stone in front of it. Y'all not gonna be able to get in there and move this stone away. Talking about he's gone. We're gonna put guards there to make sure that y'all don't come. Talking about in 3 days, he's gonna knock. We ain't having that. This is what the priests and all of them said. We're not gonna have it. So yes, Nicodemus and I believe it was Joseph. Y'all go ahead and bury him in the tomb. But we're gonna make sure it's sealed up tight once y'all put him in there. So that's what happened. Now, as the scripture says, we're gonna be reading. I wouldn't dare go through all of this and I give y'all some Bible where I'm coming from. I'm gonna be coming basically from the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, the first through the seventh verses, and Acts, the first three verses. Those are gonna be our key verses that we're gonna be using today. Okay. Now, coming back to Matthew. It says here, I'm gonna read this for the benefit of those who may not be able to have your Bibles with you. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Now get this. This is our key verse, our key textual verse. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Look at the place where he lay. I can't tell you to come and see where he's laying, but look at where he laid, because he's gone. He's risen, just like he said he would. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Now that's what he said in the first seven verses from Matthew, the 28th chapter. Some of you are saying, oh, wow. Oh, wow. But then I'm going to jump all the way to Acts for a reason. Y'all stay with me. First chapter, the first three verses. This is what it says. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken, what, up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, beloved, we just read some powerful facts right there. Powerful facts. Okay, it said right after, excuse me, right after his suffering, right after. Okay, remember what happened on the cross after he had took care of everybody else, after he had showed his human side, after he had declared that his task was finished. Then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commend my spirit, both meaning the same thing. And he went on and gave up the ghost. That's what he did, went back to his father. And this is what Paul is writing here. Excuse me, in the book of Acts, that would be Luke, is writing here. He said, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Well, we could be reading all day long about the things Jesus did between the time he resurrected and when he ascended on to heaven. But we're gonna touch on a few. Not all of them. We'd be here all day. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. 40. 40 days Jesus did. Okay. He appeared to them. All right. Now, I said to you, I'm going to share with you some verses. See if you can answer the question for today. Why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Point number one, Mary saw that the stone was taken away and she was running away. Excuse me, Mary saw the stone was taken away, and as she was running away, she ran into Peter and John. Now, I want you to get this. She done been to the tomb, okay? Looked up, eyes bulging. Oh, Lord, the stone is rolled away. Guards sitting on top of it. Angel spoke to her, told her to get off. She's running away, making haste. How many of you know when the Lord tell you to do something, you can get it done quickly because the angel told her to go right away? That's what she was doing. Gone. And as she was going, she ran into Peter and John, told them that they have taken the Lord. Have taken the Lord. They don't know where, but they've taken him. Okay. Now, that's not what the angel exactly told her to say. Told her to tell them to go ahead on and he meet them in Galilee, but she's excited. I mean, I don't blame her. Nobody does. Okay. Mary Magdalene. Okay. Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and some other women. You'll find this account in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, the 9th and 10th verse. Okay. They went to the tomb, discovered that Jesus was gone. Angel asked them, why were they looking for the living among the dead? For Jesus had already risen. Now, I got to pause here a second. They weren't completely looking for the living among the dead. Now that's what the angel said. He wasn't questioning them, but he's making almost a sarcastic statement. Hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's kind of being sarcastic because they came there with spices to anoint the bandages, to anoint the dead body. So they weren't completely convinced that they were going to bump into a living Jesus. They came there prepared to anoint his body. But I'm moving on. Okay. As we looked into this Matthew 20th chapter, we saw a lot of good details. Okay. We saw a lot of it. We saw that Peter went forth. Okay. Him and John. They went to the sepulchre. Once they now in there, that's why you need to look it through these series of the Gospels to get the whole picture. Okay, they were on their way to the tomb, bumped into Mary, and her girls as they were leaving from there. Once Mary told them what happened, they got in a hurry. Peter and John running. Okay. All right. Now, John, being a little bit younger, I guess, got there ahead of Peter. He looked in the tomb, but he didn't go in. He looked in there. Didn't go in. However, when Peter showed up, okay, he went in. We talking about Peter. You say this, well, that's Peter. I mean, when John looked in there and saw the linen on the floor, the bandages, no, I ain't going in there. Okay. But Peter, no, he went right on in. Okay. Now, once Peter went in, okay, then John, went on in. Okay. Now that's what's happening. Okay. This seems, if you just read one passage, one gospel, you could be a little bit confused. Okay. But you got to read them all. All right. Now, the women were going on after Peter and John had left their presence. They're going on now to do what they were instructed to do. Okay. To tell them, okay, that Jesus would meet them in Galilee. But something happened. While they're on their way to go tell the disciples, Jesus met them. Oh, Jesus met them, saw Mary crying, and asked her, well, why are you crying? And who was she looking for? She didn't recognize and that it was Jesus. Mary thought that he was the gardener and asked him that if he took Jesus away, would he please tell her where he was? I could see her crying. Look, if you took him, just tell us where he is, please. Well, when Jesus called Mary by name, she knew who he was. That's when she knew who he was. After telling all the women, you remember it was several women there with Mary, but after telling them not to be afraid, Jesus told them to go and tell, watch this, go and tell his brothers to go to Galilee and they will see him there. Oh, I love that. Don't y'all love that? They were followers of Jesus. Jesus was teaching them. He was their teacher. Yet at the same token, he referred to them as brothers. Join heirs, aren't we, with Christ? He said, go tell my brothers. Okay. Again, he tells them to go to Galilee and they'll see him there. Now, the scene changes because it's later on in that evening. Now remember, we're still talking about this day, this resurrection day. Jesus is out of the tomb. Okay, there's no question about that. Stone rolled away. Guards who had, when the earthquake happened and the stone rolled away, the guards who were there, the word said that they shook like dead men. They were like dead men. They just shook. It was just there. I don't know if that means they passed out. I don't know if that means they died. I don't know if that means they fainted. I don't know what it is. All I know is that they were like dead men. Okay. Now, later on that evening, the disciples were in the house. Now, this is where the Bible says it. I love it. The disciples were in the house with the door locked for fear of what the Jewish leaders might do. You'll find that in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, in the 19th verse. Okay, they're in the house locked. I mean, things were kind of rough, right? They did, especially with Jesus having been crucified. They were a little fearful, okay, that some of those who were responsible behind Jesus getting crucified would be coming looking for them. So they got the door locked. All right. They looked up and there stood this man who said, now remember the door's locked. Can you imagine? We all inside doing, and you look up, you see this man in there. Door ain't been opened yet. Okay, but this is what he said. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Some of y'all saying, wow. Wow. I thought this didn't happen until Pentecost. And I thought, well, I don't know what I thought. Well, I know that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Wow, I see where Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, they were all in cahoots in this whole thing. But here we go. He says, now, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Whoa, what a powerful statement. What a powerful statement. But here it is. Okay. Then he showed them his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed when they saw that it was Jesus. Why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Let me go a little bit further. Thomas was not with him. Everybody, even those who don't claim they to be Christians, everybody heard the story about doubting Thomas. But Thomas wasn't with them when this happened. Okay? He wasn't there when Jesus appeared. And when the disciples told him what happened, when he did show up with him, he said that he would not believe until he could put his fingers where the nails were and his hands in his side. Now watch this. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Now that's what the writer in this passage say, but like I said, we can go on and read in some of the other gospel what Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are you who have seen and believed. You're blessed because you've seen and believed. He said, blessed are those who have not seen yet still believe. He did not get on Thomas. He didn't say Thomas was wrong, he was bad for not having seen. Because y'all need to understand, there were false teachers and preachers going around. Thomas wanted proof. I don't blame him. Don't you want proof today? With all the false teachings and all going on today, wouldn't you want and don't you want proof? If somebody is real or not, aren't you so glad for the Holy Bible? That whatever somebody says to you, oh yeah, God told me this, God told me that, it's got to be able to be confirmed in the Word of God. There's no new revelation. If somebody said, yeah, the Lord told me this, it's got to be in agreement with what thus says the Word of God. If it's not, I don't have a problem with it because I'm not going to pay it any mind. But I'm going on. Beloved, I'm going to say this to y'all, and I'm about finished. I can continue to read account after account of Jesus' resurrection. But beloved, I want you to listen. There are still many people choosing to go along with the stories made up by men who refuse to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. We still have a government that has not declared Easter as a legal holiday. People who still call Easter a pagan holiday because it does not occur at the same time every year, not the same day all the time. There are those who do not consider Easter a holiday at all because it's not mentioned in the Bible. We even have those who still believe the lie that the guards told about Jesus' disappearance. The devil hopes, let me say that again, the devil hopes that by not making Easter a holiday, that might make its importance go away. People will start disregarding Easter. All they want to do is think about the Easter bunny, Easter egg hunts, everything except acknowledging that we are remembering the day that Jesus resurrected from the dead. In spite of all the accounts of Jesus, not just in the Bible, by the way. Some of you who are great readers and scholars, you know that there are many books written that gives an account about Jesus. Not just the Bible, but we stand on the Bible because, like we said earlier, the Bible's absolute. It is the truth. No question about it. Those who question it, it becomes their problem, not ours. It becomes their problem. Okay. But for those of us who believe that the Holy Bible is indeed the written word of God, and that his words are true, you can call this day Easter, Resurrection Day, a pagan holiday, or you can choose to ignore it altogether. But according to the word of God, there is one thing for certain. When they entered the tomb where Jesus was laid, they had this to say: He is not here. He is risen. Jesus rose. I don't care what day it was. I don't care what day of the week it was. Call it Easter. Like I said, I don't care what day it was. Call it Easter. Call it Resurrection Day. Call it nothing. I don't care what day you want to call it. Jesus was not there. He rose. I don't care about any of the stuff that folks say. When I read what thus says the word of God, when I see the accounts of Jesus' appearance, when I see all of the different accounts of his appearances, the different ones that saw him, not just his followers, not just his disciples, not just his brothers, but there were so many people that saw him. That Jesus rose. Now, why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? One, the Bible says he did. Two, there's so many witnesses that saw him. And three, because I speak to him myself day by day. Those of us who are followers of him, he has in that same spirit that he breathed upon his disciples then, is the same spirit he allows to dwell within us. That dwell within us, that lets us know, that teaches us day by day, that leads us, guides us, directs us, not like robots. No, we have our will. But that same Holy Spirit that indwells in us lets me know that he rose. That same spirit that directs me to go one way when I want to go a way that is not even good for me, but he knows. That spirit, that's what he does. That's why I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, I can give you my personal accounts of the things that he has done for me, the things he has shown me, the things he says to me. But what about you? When you read for yourself the things that I have just read to you, found in the Holy Bible, When you who say that yes, I believe that the Bible is the word, is the truth. I believe that it is the written word of God. And you read for yourself how Jesus rose. You said, I have once believed in different other religions. I've studied many other religions. And I thought, well, and some of you say, well, I've studied a couple of other ones, but I've not read of anyone who's come back. I've not read of any of them who's come back. Not Confucius, not Confucius, not Buddha, not Muhammad. I've not read of any of them who've come back, but Jesus did. I've not read of any of them who came back, stayed, but Jesus did. I've not read of any of them who has promised that he's coming back again, but Jesus did. And many of you said, I don't know if I believe that. Well, and some of them say, well, wait a minute, you can believe what you want. But all I know when I read in that Bible, everything that Jesus said he would do, and he's done it. When I read in that Bible, I don't see where he's ever lied. If he said he was going to do something, he did it. If he said he was not, he didn't. And I read in this Bible of the many, many, many miraculous things that Jesus has done. Why in the world would I doubt him now? Why would I doubt him now? Beloved, I'm going to say this and I'm finished. You should be asking yourself, why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Beloved, if not for the resurrection, everything else doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The resurrection of Jesus confirms everything that he says. That gets a little bit deep, and I'm not going to go into that today. Today, I just want you to know that I believe in the resurrection. I believe that I serve a risen Savior. He's no longer on that old rugged cross. Some of you even still wear those crosses with, I don't know who that is, you have hanging on there. But all I know is that my Jesus lives. He lives. He's no longer on that cross. Why should I believe in the resurrection? Because I need my soul saved. Some of you are saying, yes, I need to know that when this walk of life here on this earth is finished, I need to know that when I've gone through all of the heartaches, the heartbreaks, the disappointment, the disillusions, all of the devastating, dastardly things that I've gone through here, that there's a place of peace waiting for me. That there's a paradise waiting for me. That there's a place where Jesus has prepared for me. And that he's going to dwell in that very place. People want to call it different things. I don't care what you call it. If Jesus is there, it's heaven to me. If it's good enough for him, it's surely good enough for me. That's why I believe in the resurrection. Because I know that there is something. For some of you who've just been born again, being obedient to Jesus' teaching, to his word, you said, I know how I was. I'm not that way anymore. Oh, when you look at me, you see the same body. But I can assure you, I can assure you that I'm changed. And then some of you said, I want that. I need that. I've seen buddies of mine, friends of mine, family of mine who used to hang with me. I watched some of them who used to do so many dastardly things, but all of a sudden, they don't do those things anymore. All of a sudden, they don't talk. the way they used to talk. All of a sudden, they don't go where they used to go. And guess what? Sometime I've teased them about that. They didn't even care. It didn't stop them. It's somebody adapted, said, say to me, talk about me as much as you please. But the more you talk, I'm going to bend my knees. And I didn't understand what they meant. But I understand now. And I want it. You told me that in this very same Bible, and I believed you when you said it. This is what some of you are saying to me. I looked in the book of John. I looked in that third chapter. And I read in there what Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious man, a man of renown in the community, somebody that we would say today, he's a good man. But Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Even to him. And I know I'm not as good a man as he was. I need to be born again. I need to be born from above. I need that precious Holy Spirit to indwell within me. And that's why I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I've seen too many things. I've seen too many people believe in Jesus. I've seen too many people's lives changed because they believe in Jesus. I want the same thing. And I'm here to say today, beloved, that you can have it today. You can have it right now. All you have to do is ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Tell him, I believe that you suffered, you bled, you died, and you resurrected for me, a rank sinner. I believe that your blood was shed to cleanse me so that I one day too can be with you in paradise. Yes, I believe. And we're saying praise God. We're rejoicing with the angels right now. We're rejoicing over your soul. Your soul that the devil thought he had locked up. But because you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, because you believe that he suffered, bled, and died for you, because you believe that you needed him to do this for you so that you could be born again. Because you believe that, just like that thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him, he remembers you now. And when your day comes to leave this side, you can look forward to being in paradise with Jesus. Why? Because you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you and we bless you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. We thank you. We thank you. And we can't thank you enough. And now, Lord, as we get ready to commemorate your death, your dying for us, your resurrecting for us, in this ordinance that we call Holy Communion, we pray that you bless each and every one under the sound of my voice, each and every one who may have joined us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that those who are going to accompany us, even in the partaking of Holy Communion today, that you would bless them as well. Again, we thank you, Lord, for resurrection, for resurrecting for us. Thank you. And pray that you'll be with us even as we go through the rest of this day, allowing us to live and walk in your spirit so that even those, Heavenly Father, that see us will be able to see you through us, that you can get the glory out of our life living. For this we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We are going to continue and move right on in into our Holy Communion. This is what is coming known as the Lord's Supper for some people. And I'm just going to read a portion of God's word for you from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 34th verse, the 23rd through the 34th verses. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. We read from 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, the 23rd through the 34 verses. As we just read in here, the cup is mentioned, and the bread is mentioned. See that Jesus blessed them both. We are going to ask the Lord's blessing bread in this cup. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for dying for us and resurrecting for us. And we do this, Heavenly Father, in remembrance of you. We are praying, Lord, that you would take this bread, even though it may have been made commonly, that you would bless it for the spiritual purpose that we have today. The same with this cup, Lord, this ordinary fruit of the vine, this grape juice. Even though, Heavenly Father, it was made commonly, again, we pray that you would bless it spiritually for the purpose that we have this day. As we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let us all eat together. Let us all drink together. When we read in the scriptures, we find that says they sung a hymn, went out to the Mount of Olives. We don't know what hymn they sung. I've heard different speculations. But it's our custom here that we sing this a little bit. But there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. There is a fountain Pen filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and heaven smile upon you.